My guest at this time is Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's also written multiple books on guns, including More Guns, Less Crime. We want to get his reaction to Tuesday's decision of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals that strikes down the District of Columbia's so-called good reason policy that requires residents to have a compelling reason to request a concealed carry permit. Dr. Lott also has new evidence that concealed carry laws lead to less crime. We'll cover both issues over the next few minutes. And, John, it's always great to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, well, thanks for talking to me again. I appreciate it.
Well, let me read briefly from Tuesday's Washington Times. Quote, a strict D.C. gun law that prevents most firearms owners from carrying concealed handguns in public in the nation's capital is unconstitutional. A federal appeals court panel ruled Tuesday, saying the city government cannot demand citizens give a quote-unquote good reason before being issued permits. The ruling is the latest blow to the district's efforts to curtail gun possession and use. The Supreme Court struck down the city's near-total ban on firearms possession in 2008, and a federal court blocked an effort to ban the carrying of firearms in public in 2014. The D.C. Council responded to that latter ruling with its good reason regulations, which require residents to prove they have a good reason to fear injury or another proper reason, such as a job that requires carrying large amounts of cash or valuables in order to get a concealed carry permit. The story goes on to say, under the city's law, living in a high-crime neighborhood was not considered reason enough to justify approval of a concealed carry permit. So, John, what's your reaction to this decision?
Well, I mean, I think it's a good step in the right direction. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, how the District of Columbia responds. My guess is they're going to ask for a review by the entire circuit court, and that's heavily controlled by Democrats, and likely will overturn it. Then the question will be whether the Supreme Court will take it up. But look, right now, D.C. only has, or at least as the beginning of July, had only issued 124 permits. You have over 500,000 adults in the district. I mean, that's a very tiny rate. If D.C. issued concealed carry permits at the same rate that they're issued in the 42 right to carry states on average, it would be about 48,000 permits compared to the 124. You know, the problem is the type of people who get permits here are well-to-do, very politically connected individuals. You know, my research, if it shows me anything, is those aren't the people who need them the most. The people who benefit the most from having concealed carry are the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, and those tend to be poor blacks who live in high-crime areas. See, the other group that tends to benefit the most are women. And the elderly, people who are relatively weaker physically, benefit much more from having a gun than, let's say, a man does. But whether it's D.C. or New York or Los Angeles, when you have politicians determining, you know, good cause, as you say, they are not only do they give out few permits, but the few permits that are given out when political types are making these decisions are to very wealthy, very politically connected individuals, not the ones who need it. So I hope this decision will loosen things up and that it will make it so the people who need these permits the most will be the ones who obtain them.
I want to have you elaborate on your research a little bit more, John, because from what I've seen of your research, since 2012, the number of concealed carry permits requested by men is up 22%. It's up 93% among women and especially among black women. And in addition to the rise, dramatic rise in some cases of interest in this, you also have research indicating that it's having a significant impact on reducing crime. So talk about that a little bit more, please.
Right. Well, I think there's been a sea change in women's views and blacks' views about guns. And as you've seen polls indicating that they believe that guns are more likely to protect them than to cause problems for them, you've seen a big increase in gun ownership and also concealed carry permits. In the latest Pew surveys that I've seen, the majority of women and the majority of blacks both believe that having a gun makes them safer than not having it. And you know, and I would just say it's good that that's finally happening, because, in fact, I believe the research shows that they are, in fact, the ones who benefit the most from having guns for protection, the people who are most likely to be victims of crime. But we've had a huge explosion in concealed carry permits. You go back a decade. In 2007, there were 4.6 million concealed handgun permits. Now it's over 16.3 million. But even that fourfold, almost fourfold increase underestimates the change, because just in the last 2 years, you've had eight states which have adopted so-called constitutional carry laws where you don't even need a permit to carry. So a lot more people are carrying. In fact, in those states, the number of permits have actually gone down simply because people don't need a permit in those places to carry.
We're talking with John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. And, sir, one question on each side of this debate in our remaining couple of minutes here. First of all, I remember from the 2008 Heller decision, while a 5-4 divided Supreme Court did affirm the fact that individuals have the right to keep and bear arms, in the majority opinion, Justice Scalia also said that local jurisdictions, or perhaps even states, could put some restrictions on that Second Amendment. So how do you expect the Supreme Court, if it comes to that, on this issue or others, to draw the line on what's a reasonable restriction?
Well, there are two issues here. One is the main point of the Heller decision was to focus on the part of the Second Amendment which says to keep and bear arms. And what Scalia wrote was that to keep meant to have a gun in your home, and to bear meant to be able to carry it. And so now the Heller decision only dealt with the issue that was before the court at the time. And the issue that was before the court was whether or not a government could completely ban all guns or all an entire category of guns from being owned in a person's home. And the court said, no, to keep means that people have the right to be able to go and defend themselves with guns. Scalia talked about what to bear meant, but it wasn't applicable to that particular case because it wasn't the issue that was before the court. So I suspect, and the circuit court that just issued its decision yesterday pretty much took Scalia's writings to heart with regard to what he was saying the Second Amendment meant with regard to carrying, and said that the government could not effectively completely ban people carrying guns outside the home. You know, this other issue about where you can control people carry, you know, can you ban it in universities or schools or other places? If you actually read Scalia's language, he was just emphasizing that those were questions beyond the scope of what was actually before the court in the Heller decision, and that those were issues that would have to be decided at a later date. You know, he implied that it could be possible that those things could be banned if local governments wanted to do that, but that's, you know, again, that's an issue for a later date that they didn't even try to address because it wasn't something that was relevant to them.
Even in the pro-Second Amendment community, Dr. Lott, as our exit question here, there's some debate over exactly what this policy ought to be, not towards what we were just talking about with Justice Scalia and some other people discussing that side of the debate where restrictions might be in place. But there are people, as you well know, who think that that there should be concealed carry reciprocity. There are even some people who believe that concealed carry is too much restriction, that open carry should be allowed. So where do you come down in that debate?
Well, 45 of the states currently allow open carry. But, you know, relatively few people avail themselves of that when they have the opportunity. And I think there is an important safety argument for why you have concealed, because criminals don't know until they actually attack somebody whether or not a person is going to be able to defend themselves. And I think the fact that you see people being much more comfortable having concealed carry, you know, means that more people will carry if it's concealed than if you only allowed them to open carry. And, you know, the thing with open carry, I think it's more of a public statement by people about what their views are. Let me give you a simple example about the limits to open carry, and that is police have an incredibly difficult job when they're trying to stop terrorist attacks. To have a police officer guarding some sensitive place, if a terrorist were to go there, the person who's in uniform will be the first person killed because the terrorist knows that that person has a gun. And it's almost an impossible job for the police in that situation. Terrorists have huge strategic advantage. The benefit of concealed carry is that the terrorist doesn't know who they have to go after first. And in fact, even allowing concealed carry when you have police in a place makes the job of police safer because the terrorist has to reveal their position when they go after the police, and that makes it possible for somebody behind them or to the side to be able to go and respond and shoot the terrorist. So that makes it less likely that they'll shoot the police officer to begin with. But, you know, allowing civilians to openly carry is closely analogous to the risks that the police officer face. If you're going to have an attack, they're going to be the first person killed. Otherwise, the attackers will simply let those people go by and attack, you know, the next person who's not armed. And so I guess, people who would never think of carrying a gun benefit from concealed carry because the criminals don't know whether or not those people are going to be able to go and defend themselves until they actually go and attack.
Well, as you said, Dr. Lott, we'll see if this gets appealed to the full D.C. Circuit or ultimately the Supreme Court, depending on what happens at the full D.C. Circuit. And as always, we appreciate your time and your expert insights on the issue. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks very much. If there's one thing I could just add really quickly, and that is one of the other things we found in our report is just how incredibly law-abiding permit holders were. Police are rarely convicted of crimes, but permit holders are convicted of any type of crime at about 1/6 the rate that police officers are.
Dr. John Lott is president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can learn more about them at crimeresearch.org. He's also written multiple books on guns, including More Guns, Less Crime. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.